Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and there's so much to get to. First thing I want to tell you, though, is that we are brought to you by Mark Milton. If you're currently sideways with the IRS, years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night, make sure you do your business with the STL Tax Lawyer, and that's STLTaxLawyer.com. If you have IRS problems, that is Mark Milton. And remember, the choice of a lawyer, an important decision, should not be based solely on advertisements. Ben Fredrickson is in studio. I love it. You're at the world headquarters of Scoops. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. We haven't done one of these in person in a while, so it's good to be back across the table from you here at Scoops Nation headquarters.
The world headquarters.
I just feel honored to sit in the seat that I know Martin Kilcoin sometimes occupies, so it's really a big day for me.
It is a big day, and you should be honored. Martin's very talented.
He's very talented. I love his impressions.
Did you listen to the last podcast we had? Because I said, at the end of the podcast, I said, hey, we have a special guest that just made his way into the studio. Tony La Russa, grab a microphone.
Well, Tony's retired from managing.
Yes.
He can stop by.
You know that Martin, for a full year, did podcasts with Tony every week.
I did.
Those
I loved
were awesome.
Him. Yeah, some great insight into the Hall of Famer. So I think you should do your McCarver impression, and Martin should do Tony. And then you guys could just do like McCarver La Russa podcast and see how long it takes McCarver and La Russa to realize that this is happening and they're like, wait, what? We have a podcast? What's going on here? I love your podcast, Tony. Wait, I don't know what you're talking about.
It'll be called Get Off My Lawn.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel most days.
No doubt. I'm there too. Okay, so this time last week, we were getting ready to do a little postseason baseball. We were excited, the Cardinals and the Phillies, and then screeching halt. After this great year that the Cardinals had, they dropped two against the Phillies, and it's over. So your initial impressions of what you saw last weekend?
Well, I think it was certainly a disappointing end to what was a very special season. And that's kind of what the Cardinals are wrestling with now, Dan. They have these impactful, fun regular seasons, and then they can't get over just that first hump of the postseason. And we know it's random. We know there's all kinds of crazy things that happen in the playoffs, but getting bounced from wild card games and wild card series, it can't be where they want to be. So to see that happen so fast at home after such a fun, historic regular season with all the records broken, it was disappointing. And I didn't think that the Cardinals were necessarily built to go out and win a World Series, but I did think they would win that series against the Phillies. I thought they'd give the Braves a shot in the NLDS, and to not get that chance when you've played so well at home, the Phillies had played so poorly on the road.
I think they came in having won four of the last 11 in regular season play.
They ended up with the same road record as the Cardinals did. And we talked about the Cardinals needing to play better on the road. The Phillies were the same way. And I think it's just it's not a sour end to the season. The regular season was special, period, full stop. But it is a continued disappointment in the playoffs, and that's a growing trend for this team.
Well, people look at it, and I'm sure you've been approached umpteen times like I have, like, would you leave Quintana in? Why wasn't somebody up for Helsley? Why did you, all that stuff. And I can understand that, and I can make cases as to why he left Quintana in and that Helsley was healthy, and it was kind of a meltdown at the end of the game. Here's the bottom line. Your two big guys didn't hit.
Yep.
And that's it. I mean, the Cardinals allowed four hits the next day. If you allow four hits in game two, you should win the game. So the big guys didn't hit. That's where they lost. To me, it's that simple. Goldie, Arenado didn't come through.
Didn't come through, and the offense, period, story of the series, more so than Helsley. Helsley, how it was handled, thought Ollie got him out one batter too late. I wouldn't have asked him to go multiple innings not knowing about the finger. That can define that game. But the story of the series was the offense and the lack of it.
No doubt.
Your MVP guys, they didn't come through. Bigger than that, it's eight of their last 15 postseason games, Dan, where they have scored one or no runs in the postseason. Look around the postseason. Man. What's happening? Teams are scoring. I know it's hard. Pitching is great. Teams are finding ways to manufacture runs. Kyle Schwarber hits the most home runs in baseball this year. What's he do? Hit a sac fly. Bryce Harper kills the Cardinals with that home run. And here's my thing. People say, well, it was the Helsley stuff that cost him the series. If Nolan Arenado hits that home run that Bryce Harper hits but puts it in Big Mac land in game two, no one's talking about Helsley. That's the difference. Bryce Harper goes down to Atlanta. What's he doing? He's bunting in a game. And they say, well, he's not comfortable with the swing. Hell, he was comfortable with
no, he's fine to
at
swing.
Busch Stadium. But we're seeing good offenses find ways to be desperate. And I don't think we saw a different kind of desperation from the Cardinals. It was, hey, turn the bat into dust in your hands. Everybody try to win the game themselves. That won't work in the playoffs. You've got to find ways to build things, to get runs across. What killed me about game two, Dan, you start the game with a guy on second base.
Yeah, Lars Nootbaar leads off the game with a double.
Your fastest runner. You've got guys coming through in big spots, just doing a little bit. You know, working a walk after going down two strikes. Yadi, Pujols get on base in the final at-bats of their career. All these opportunities, and the next guy couldn't do the next right thing. And it is incredibly hard, but good offenses, they find a way to do it against this elite pitching. And it's what we talked about a lot, Dan. Good right-handed pitching, the kind of good right-handed pitching you see in the postseason, it's a real problem for this team.
You know, Ollie's not one to sacrifice. The Cardinals had, I think maybe they were the third fewest or something like that in all of baseball. But I do wonder, and even though it's not done in regular season play, but in postseason it's a different brand of baseball, I do wonder with cooler temperatures, when the ball doesn't travel on a game that's based on power, if more teams are going to look at sacrificing and bunting just to scratch a run across, and if that changes the mindset maybe of some inside the game. Like you said, the Phillies bunting with a two-time MVP in Bryce Harper.
And you saw the Padres try to squeeze.
Yes.
It didn't work.
But I liked it. I thought it was okay.
I think it totally depends on situation. I think it depends on time, place in the game. But, I mean, we're talking about the Cardinals scoring in three of 18 innings. In this two-game series, you can't tell me that they're above trying to do something small ball to get something going. And this isn't like an ad. Like, I want to be clear. Like, I love home runs. They are the best way to win. This team should try to hit home runs.
Yeah, those 27 outs are very precious.
Trying to hit a home run, though, if a guy's on second base and you're trying to move the runner along, like, there's different. You got to have different at bats depending on the situation. We've been talking about this offense's need to do that for a while now. I mean, this is what, you know, Mike Schilt and Jeff Albert kind of bumped heads against in 2020 before, and then they took off. They go on the 17-game winning streak, and there was an active dialogue on this team of, okay, yeah, hunt for power when you've got that spot, but also think situationally too. And I think they're still wrestling with that. If you're going to simply say, hey, we're here to hit home runs, that's fine, but you better get some other guys who can help you hit home runs.
Yeah.
And you know, that's probably a way complicated version of also saying any team that gets to the postseason and they're two guys who could finish legitimately 1-2 in the NL MVP if they can't hit, can't come up with an extra base hit, if they strike out a ton of times, well, probably not going very far.
That's right. I think here's something that people have overlooked too. I thought one of the keys in the series was the fact that the Phillies are not a good defensive team. The Cardinals are elite. And in game one, you can't overlook the ball that went under Arenado's glove, the other one that got under Tommy Edman's glove. I was talking with Ollie about it. He said, look, what am I going to do, jump these guys? He said they make that play 99 out of 100 times. And on the flip side, Alec Bohm made some great plays defensively in the two games for the Phillies. That helped them win the series. And so I just think that the things that you counted on for the Cardinals all season long, Arenado, Goldie, Helsley, and defense, in the two games, they weren't there.
Right.
And that's why they lost.
Yep. And we kept waiting. Okay, Philly's bullpen supposed to be bad. Looked pretty good.
Yep.
Philly's defense supposed to be bad. There's got to be a hole. Looked pretty good. And it's continued. I turned on my TV the other day, and there's Nick Castellanos, who got like—
Sliding catch.
I mean, like, who is that?
Right.
But you know what? They got a vibe. And that's crazy things happen in the postseason. They've played better under Rob Thompson, who's now got a deserved extension. But you're right. The cornerstones the Cardinals took into the series— They didn't come through, and you're not going to win if the parts of your identity that you carried into the postseason don't show up. And then here's how you win: the Phillies brought their identity, and then their weaknesses are starting to look like potential strengths, and that's the sign of a team that's got the right stuff going.
It's going to be a long off season for Goldie. You know, I looked
Man,
at
he's got to well got to figure it out. What I mean, he might know, and maybe he's not, but he's got to look at what happened, and how do you stop that from happening again? Can you?
I think it was August 26th. The Cardinals were at Wrigley. He had two home runs that day. And the next day is when the slump began, and it never ended. And so I understand that the Cardinals, when they talk about Goldie, they say, and there's other players that you hear this with, that they say, man, this guy knows himself better than anybody. And he understands his body. So there's times like when he'll say, I need a day because my back hurts. And they go, okay. And he's like, takes that day, comes back, he's fine. They also trust in him to understand his swing. And something happened there. I mean, that last game, it looked like he didn't have a shot. And that's just bizarre. We have never seen him look like that since he's come to the Cardinals.
He was guessing on pitches, swinging at stuff that he had no chance to hit. And that's very unusual for him when he's at his best.
He's so in between, and that's guessing.
He's got that little spot where he wants them to pitch, and he forces them there and then crushes it. And this was the opposite of that. So, I mean, you cannot chalk that up to a slump. Something was going on there, and I get it. You know, you don't walk off the field and say, okay, let's break it down. But at some point, he's going to have to dig into that. The Cardinals are going to have to. This guy's, I think, still the favorite to win the MVP. Of course, votes due before the postseason starts.
But he's got to win the MVP, in my opinion.
But you look at guys who had as bad a Septembers as he did who've won the MVP, it's a pretty rare list. Usually we see guys surge toward that. And that says how good he was before September. The fact that he's still going to win. But what got off the rails? Why couldn't it get back on track? One of the things, and every team has hitters who go through slumps. It does seem like the Cardinals have guys who really can get down bad and stay down. And we've seen it with Tyler O'Neill. I mean, hell, Paul DeJong's going on seasons of it now. Tommy Edman can fall into that. And they've got to try to figure out a way to get guys out of those things sooner. I think with Goldie, their approach was just let him be, give him time. But it didn't pay off.
No.
And then there's Arenado who, I mean, it's small sample size theater in the postseason always. But, Dan, there's enough of it now that, okay, is this guy going to be a postseason player? Or is he going to be a guy who—
Look at his late and close situations in just regular season.
Is he going to be a guy who shrinks in the postseason? Mm-hmm. He came here to win a championship. He came here to make magic in the most magical time of the year. He's going to have to reverse this narrative soon, and he's going to get chances because the Cardinals are always in it.
Yeah.
He's got to turn that thing around big time. He hasn't had a home run in the playoffs since his first one with the Rockies.
And that's a while.
The numbers are not good.
No.
And I think with him, it looks like, I mean, to me, it looks like the guy's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. It just looks like he's trying to win the game every at bat. And you saw it. He thought he had the home run in game one. I mean, you'd have to quote the advanced metrics, but in like a million other parks, it's out. Same launch angle, exit velocity of a bunch of his home runs this year.
62 degrees that day, okay. And I think the weather hurt it. I really do.
But you saw it.
Yeah.
You were on the radio when he rounded first base. Have you ever seen...
Hands up in the air on his helmet. Like, are you kidding me?
And then he stopped.
Yeah.
And he almost looked at the... Like, it was almost like he wanted them to challenge it. And I'm like, no, you can't challenge it. It's in the guy's glove. But it was like he could not believe it.
Right.
And then the next time up, he rips that one third baseline, and Bo makes that play, and he's like, what do I have to do here?
Right.
And it just felt like that those two at-bats defined his series.
Let's turn the page then and look ahead at some business. And I'll start with Arenado. He's got an opt-out. I don't believe he's opting out. I know a lot of fans are worried that he will. An opt-out is there for the player to say either I want to stay or I want to go, but also it's there for leverage, and
sure,
that's the number one thing. So I would think that they wind up tacking on a year and figure out some money with that. And I don't want to get into the weeds on it because I don't know. But I can tell you this. I've talked to him on a personal level one-on-one. He loves it in St. Louis. I mean, he loves the baseball aspect, but I can tell you the personal aspect. He loves living in St. Louis. He and his wife have talked about being here full-time. I mean, these are California, Florida people that love the warm weather. And I remember talking to his wife in Boston, and she said, oh, my God. She goes, we love our neighbors. We love the fact that they help us out. The community is so giving to us. So this has been beyond what we thought it could be. So my point is, I don't think he's opting out. And I told her, I said, well, if you're thinking about living here full time, you might want to spend a winter here and let me know what you think after that. And she said, yeah. She said, we got family back in California with a new baby and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, this has been a good spot for them and their family. And I'll say this too, Ben, I think he's the greatest third baseman I've ever seen. And I used to say that about Scott Rolen, and now after watching it for two full years, he's the best third baseman I've ever seen. And he's one of five Cardinals to have back-to-back 30 and 100 years, 30 and 100 RBI seasons. Wish he could play 100 years. But by the way, Albert did that 9 straight.
Albert did play 100 years.
Yeah, it did seem like that. But 30 home runs, drove in over 100 or at 100. So, and he's going to win another Gold Glove, so that'd be 10. And he's headed to the Hall of Fame. So to me, this is not going to take that much time, and they'll get the opt-out done, and he'll be a Cardinal for the rest of his career.
I mean, he had the kind of year that he can use to leverage in whatever way he wants to
sure.
leverage it. If he wants more money, give him a little more money. The Cardinals made a lot of money this year, thanks to in part to Albert Pujols. If he wants more years to take him beyond kind of what could be a dicey another bite of the free agent apple, that's fine. Give him that. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a contentious negotiation with the Cardinals, if there is one. You also have to remember, too, the Cardinals did Nolan Arenado a favor. Now, he's returned the favor with two awesome seasons, but they did him a favor by rescuing him from Colorado. And they did tack on an extra year of his deal when they brought him on. So this just feels to me like it's something that gets worked out pretty easily. If it doesn't, if it lingers, if there's whispers of the Dodgers, then there's something to get worried about. But I don't think that's happening. I think this gets done pretty quick, and I don't think he wants to go anywhere, ever.
How about Adam Wainwright?
Adam's I said it like I know.
I don't think he's
I think Adam's
doubt
back.
He's coming back.
Well, to me, the comments that he made on social media about, you know, how he felt about how the season ended, how he feels he can get that stuff addressed with his mechanics, that to me did not sound like a guy who's ready to hang it up.
No.
And he, to his credit, has stiff-armed the assumption since spring training. I mean, I was at spring training. You were there too, when Adam said, "Look, this is awesome. We got Albert back. This is awesome that we got Molina and Albert going out together." But I'm telling you guys, I haven't made up a decision yet, and I would appreciate it if people don't assume that I have. And it didn't stop the last ride stuff, and I get it. But he has never once said that he's done. And I would imagine we'll have an answer from him here before too long. The Cardinals want him back. If he wants to pitch, it'll be at the Cardinals. He doesn't want to pitch anywhere else. He made that clear this year that he never sees himself pitching in another uniform. And here's the deal, Dan. Crummy September for Adam, but you look at his ERA going into that, pretty good, about 3. He's a guy who got 200 innings for him, just under it. The only other guy in this rotation who did it is Michaelis, so if he can be, I view Adam, and this is not an insult to him, I view Adam as like, that's your fifth starter. And if he's better than that, awesome. And that's how I viewed him the past season, that it worked out great because he was much better than that. So can he do that one more time? I think we have a large body of evidence before this latest slump that he thinks he can have figured out that suggests he can be a part of this rotation and be an effective one.
I want to tell you about a great sponsor of ours, and they were with us basically all summer long, and that's Rottler Pest Control, Rottler Pest Solutions, the most trusted family-owned pest control company in the region. Pest Solutions, Bird Control, Wildlife Solutions, Rodent Solutions, Mosquito Solutions, it's all there at Rottler.com. Again, that is Rottler.com, Rottler.com, Rottler, and that is an official partner of the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm curious about Quintana. I think he made himself a ton of money going how he pitched down the stretch. So you're looking at at least $8 million pitcher, maybe 10, maybe 12. I mean, you don't know. If somebody targets him and says, that's our guy, they can blow everybody else out of the water. I am curious, though, what his future might be with the St. Louis Cardinals and if they want him back. Now, that would mean you'd have potentially 3 lefties in your rotation. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's unique, that's for sure, because the Cardinals didn't have a lefty for a long time since going back to Jaime Garcia. And now you'd have the potential of 3 of them, Montgomery, Matz, and Quintana. But what do you think about bringing him back, or if he's on the radar of the Cardinals?
Well, he wants to come back. He's made that pretty clear, and I can understand why people say, hey, you know, bring him back. How can you not want to bring back the guy who you trusted to start game one and then went out and delivered? He's older, but he looks pretty good physically. I mean, the guy keeps himself in great shape.
I love how he pitches. He's a pro.
Fits here.
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, focused, very serious, very diligent. He's blended in perfectly with this team, which is not always easy to do. He's in a bit of a tough spot because we don't know what the Cardinals' motives are. They've got Montgomery for another year. Could you trade Jordan Montgomery? Perhaps, if you think that his success this season is not going to be possible for him to repeat. So maybe you trade high on him and then sign Quintana. If you're worried about the lefties, you know, part of that depends on what they view about Mats, which is, I mean, Mats has had a disappointing first year. Injuries, inconsistency when he was healthy. I think they're still feel good about that contract, but they also got Libertor, who they hope eventually is going to be a part of this thing, and he's a lefty too. So I would love it if they brought back Quintana. If they are truly going to prioritize the one thing that Ali has, I wouldn't say beat the table for, but hinted at strongly throughout the season multiple times, is it sure sounds like the manager would like to have a guy who no one wonders who the Cardinals are going to start in game one of a three-game playoff series.
That's my
thing. Strikeout getting ace type.
Is there one out there, though? I mean you
if Verlander wants to come on like a short-term deal, maybe. If you trust his stuff holding up, or you'd have to trade.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the Cardinals have pulled off their biggest
moves
in trades.
You can't have enough pitching. I mean, Graceffo is not that far. Tink Hentz might make noise in spring training.
I thought we might see him this year.
You know, you could make the Jordan Hicks comp and say, all right, guy's at A-ball, but he comes out, he's dealing in spring training, and the stuff shows. It's spring training eye test is one thing. But the analytics are another.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks path, where your stuff is so good, they'll figure out the rest later.
So that wouldn't surprise me, you know, if something like that would happen. Now, they've been really, really cautious with his innings because it's a special arm. But I wonder if they take the training wheels off in spring training and see what they got.
What they don't need, and this is where I have a hard time having like a definitive take on Quintana. What the Cardinals don't need are middle of the road anything. They have done enough. They have enough talent in their system. They have done enough at producing, you know, contributing players, draft and develop, which is awesome. It's what they're built on. That they don't need to sign guys who are going to be replaced by internal candidates by halfway through the season.
Sure.
Like Corey Dickerson did a good job of pulling out of his slump. Lars Nootbaar, you know, Juan Yepez, they are Corey Dickerson or better with more upside. Stop shopping on that safe middle shelf of free agency and go get the guys you don't have coming. Go get a pitcher who can be
your number one.
Undefined. Go get someone better than that. You don't have to go, is that guy better than Miles Michaelis or are they about the same? Go get somebody who's Miles Michaelis workload but more strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Now that to me is, and it's easy for me to say, not my money, but that, go get pieces you don't have. Like, I do think sometimes the Cardinals are, and I do this when I go shopping. For the rare times I go shopping for like clothes, I'm like, I like that shirt. And my wife's like, you've got 10 of those. Like, you always buy the same blue shirt and it's comfortable and I know that I'm going to wear it. And I know that it's not going to turn bad on me, but it's safe. And I do think that they should try to lean toward being unsafe in what they shop for this season, because they've got some really good pieces that are young and cost controlled. And the last thing you want to do, and where they've gotten into trouble, we saw it with Dexter Fowler. You bring a guy in halfway through the season, you're like, wait a second. The guys playing in Memphis are as good, if not better, than this guy. They're cheaper, and we've got them for longer.
Right.
So be unsafe. Buy a new shirt. And I do feel like Quintana, and it's no discredit to him, he feels almost like a little safe.
So what would you do with Tyler O'Neill?
I'd probably try to trade him. And I'd hope that he doesn't hit 40 home runs.
That's the case.
With the team you trade him to.
But, you know, you got Randy Arozarena again. You know, or you have Sandy Alcantara. You got Zach Gallen.
But he's older now. To me, it depends on how and I don't have the answer to this. I'm not in Tyler's body, and I'm not on the Cardinals' medical staff. They've got to answer: was this a season marred by injury, or is this a season marred by him not grabbing the opportunity that was put in front of him?
I know they gave him every opportunity,
and they challenged him.
Yeah,
and they told him, "Hey, if you whatever you want, it's right there. Go take it." And he didn't. And now he was hurt, but he wasn't always hurt, and he wasn't always. It's I think sometimes he gets labeled as well. When he's healthy, he's great. Not always. Sometimes he's healthy and he's in a massive funk at the plate. So he's got to be healthy, locked in, and then he can be great. And we saw that last season. One season, and
yeah.
He's gotten a lot of chances. So I get it. I had a conversation with an executive from another team and said, what do you make of this guy? And they said, well, You see the pieces, and you know, the same thing we all say. It's like it's right there, but you just kind of wonder if he's what his motivation is. And I said, at what point is that who he is?
So maybe you start the year with a chance for him again, and Jordan Walker is knocking on the door. And maybe Jordan Walker starts at AAA and then eventually comes up. But my thing is, if Jordan Walker is ready to go and he's going to have to earn it in spring, I would make sure that it's not just given. He's going to have to come out and have a great spring. But if he does, he breaks north with the club, and you say, we're going with Jordan Walker.
I'd have no problem with that. We got young guys playing all over the place and playing well. He certainly is making his bat known in Arizona Fall League right now. He's probably hit a home run, another home run while we're recording this. He's taking to the outfield pretty well. They got him playing center field out there. He's a special player. You don't want to rush him, but you don't want to hold him back for no reason. In this outfield, there's not a single person in this outfield who can go into the offseason feeling like, I'm a starter next year. Lars Nootbaar, I think he's a piece of it.
I'd say Lars is a piece of it, but we don't know that
Lars isn't going to have a stretch where he struggles like Dylan Carlson. Like, we just haven't seen enough.
Right.
Carlson.
Well, he did have a stretch right before the first half. He was pretty cold.
Can he avoid that?
Right.
Again? I mean, so he did as much as anybody out there to take advantage of it. He did what Tyler O'Neill didn't.
I agree with that.
Carlson is like, man, I've stumped for Carlson as much as anybody. But at the same time, like, how many times this season were they like, now's the time? Now, the wrist, is he healthy? I think you want to give him a shot. He's still so young. But they could add an outfielder and also, you know, lean toward playing Walker. They're going to have to move somebody out, though. And that's kind of why I say that with Tyler, because he's gotten the most chances.
Yeah.
And you can't, at the end of the day, you have to base your measurements on your decisions on what you've seen and what you haven't, not a fear of what you might see somewhere else. And I know they've been rocked by that a few times, but they cannot say today that O'Neill hasn't gotten a chance. They didn't give a Rosarena much of a chance, and they regret that. O'Neill's gotten plenty of chances.
Adolis Garcia putting up big numbers, too, with Texas. That's another guy that he is the prototypical 2022 player, man. He's up there taking hacks. I was watching at the end of the year, Aaron Judge was down in Texas, so that's when he hit 62. And so I was watching their games, and he'd come up, and he hit a bomb that was just ridiculous.
He doesn't get cheated.
No, he's up there. Dude, letting it rip, man.
A Rosarena has turned into a fine outfielder.
Yeah.
He's not like everybody, he's not, you know, the Babe Ruth that we saw in the postseason, but
correct.
He had a hell of a postseason, but he's not like he's like falling off a cliff. He's like got like a pretty consistent like 120 OPS plus, 20% above league average. That's exactly what this outfield needs.
Exactly. And that's why I think they're going to be very careful with Tyler O'Neill. Internally, there's a lot of frustration because he's not on the field. You got to play.
You can't let what you didn't do with a Rosarena dictate something with a player who isn't him.
Right.
I mean, like, those are false equivalencies. And you know, Tyler could, I'm not doubting it that Tyler could come out and boom, but he's got to stay on the field. And 27 season, he's got these injury issues are becoming kind of a part of who he is. So how do they figure out a way around that? I don't know.
There's a couple more things I want to get to before we let you go. Blues open up their season tomorrow. To me, one of the big questions is whether or not Ryan, you know, just kind of fun stuff as a fan, but does Ryan O'Reilly stay in St. Louis as the captain? He's a free agent to be. You've signed up now Thomas and Kyrou long-term. How does that allow them to maybe relax and just continue to grow and be better? And to me, it always comes down to goaltending. I don't care how good you are up front. If you don't have a good goaler, I always say goaler. If you don't have a good goaler, you ain't going nowhere. And Jordan Binnington has been awesome in this camp. So I'm excited because as he goes, they go.
Yeah, I will agree with all those points, and I'll start from the opposite end. With Binnington, you just want to see consistency. We know, Dan, that when he gets to that moment in the postseason, he's going to raise the level if he's healthy. And we've seen that now twice. Okay, one of them led to a championship. So you feel good about getting him there. But he's got to be less highs and lows around there. Ville Husso, he's gone. So you need to have Binnington be steadier. Just steady, calm, and then, okay, hit another gear when you get to the postseason. But don't go off the rails during the regular season. To me, the defense is big. I'd like to see Colton Parayko kind of quiet some of the critics. He had a better year than people want to give him credit for last season, but he was terrible in that final game. I'd like to see him really kind of start to be that defenseman that he can be. Not that everyone else wants him to be, but to be the best version of himself. With O'Reilly, I pray that cooler heads will continue to prevail. There's been no drama about this situation, and he's not trying to stir the pot. I hope that Doug Armstrong understands and sees the value, and I know he does, of what this guy brings. He's a leader, first on, first, last off, two-way player, which is what they're trying to get all of these guys to do. He's the perfect captain for Craig Berube, and you're not going to be able to keep both. You know, somebody's got to go. Tarasenko has been wanting to go. And
no one's talking about that anymore. I think it's just
people are over it.
Yeah.
But it's still like it's the only, I'll say this, the only St. Louis athlete I've ever encountered who could request a trade and still be beloved. Like if Nolan Arenado requested a trade, people would be mad.
Yep.
Same thing for anybody. So whatever with that. Let that play out as they've done. They've done a good job of just ignoring the noise. Bring Ryan O'Reilly back. But the biggest thing for me, man, the Thomas, the Kyrou contracts, that is a contract that changes the scenario. They're no longer encouraging young guys who have a bright future. No, they are banked on key producers, and seeing them get off to a start that suggests that those contracts were really smart would be really good for this team.
No doubt. I have one more thing I'm going to throw at you, and I think it's going to be kind of fun. All right, Schnucks, save big money, earn points on everything you purchase, save time. Schnucks Rewards app, one-stop shop, and the Schnucks Rewards app makes it so quick and easy. I'm from St. Louis, always support local. That's why I do my grocery shopping at Schnucks. Dan Snyder.
Oh, I didn't see this one coming.
The owner of the Washington Commanders comes out and basically says, and blackmails the rest of the league and Roger Goodell and says, hey, if they want me out of here, no problem, but I've got so much dirt on them, it'll never happen. What was your take when you heard all that stuff? I mean, not surprising at all. It's a cartel, and as he said, a mafia. But what did you take away with that?
Dan Snyder, if you're listening, at Ben_Fred, you can slide in the DMs. You're a scumbag, but I know they're scumbags too, and I'd be happy to write it. So hit me up. We can burn it down together. I got nothing to lose with the league, man. I'll love to write it. Everyone else will be like, I don't know if I can write it. I'll write it all.
By the way, when you were writing, I mean, you torched people with the Rams stuff and when that lawsuit was going on, and you and Randy Carricker were really great at uncovering this stuff. Joel Courier of the Post, I thought it was awesome coverage and put the league on notice and exposed all this stuff. Just a side question, did you ever get any kind of anonymous emails, tweets, things of that nature to you that you're like, holy cow, I gotta watch my back here?
No threats or anything like that. I had family members who were like afraid I was going to wind up in a ditch somewhere, which, I kind of said, hey, relax. They got bigger things to worry about. And then I kind of look over my shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the only thing was, when they made that bogus argument for, a change of venue, it was pretty much, as I understand it, they closed the courtroom down and kicked the press out during that. But as I understand it, and as was kind of hinted at once they opened it back up, was it was basically a...
To keep you out?
No, it was basically a laundry list of the columns I've written about how they felt like it was creating an unfair trial situation.
Oh, really?
If it got to that point. And I remember the judge at one point saying, well, these are not news articles. These are columns in a newspaper from an opinion writer, which there was no one else writing opinion columns in the newspaper at that time about the relocation issue. So they were basically saying, we're not going to have a chance because people are being swayed. And I took that as a compliment.
Yeah,
because,
sure.
If it did get to trial and there was a
You're
massive
under
verdict
their skin.
And I had swayed a jury member with my writing, I would have felt really good about that. So that was the only thing that really jumped out to me. I don't hear from them anymore, which that doesn't surprise me. But I would implore, because you brought up the topic, this story continues of what they're going to do with the money. And
I was just going to ask you that, yeah.
There's real frustration of the folks who are on the RSA leadership. And this is not a city angle or a county angle. It's got people from all, appointed by all different branches of this lawsuit. And these people are in unison and agreeing that this money, which they're still discussing how to divide, should be put in a storing place that generates more interest.
No question.
They're losing a lot of money daily on what $500+ million worth of interest could be gaining in
rate. Why can't they just put that in now and continue to fight over it?
It requires the county and the city have to approve it, and they're dawdling. I think they're waiting on finding out what some upcoming elections might do, and I think there's some concerns about, well, who gets to invest it and who could benefit from that, and you know, how quickly could it be? And all that stuff is fair and fine to discuss. It should have been done by now. The fact that they don't know still who's getting the money and who's getting what is crazy. It shows you, to me, you know, there's still feedback I get. They should have never stopped. They should have never settled. They should have fought for a team. It wasn't on the table. But if you wanted to know kind of how much of a risk this lawsuit was that ended up generating all this money for this region that needs to be put to good use, they didn't even talk about how they would split the winnings until after.
Yeah.
If you and I know, Dan, that we're going to go win a lawsuit, we probably talk about, okay, who's getting what?
Absolutely.
They swung away, and they got a great outcome from it. They can't let the story become a negative one. And the longer that there's more stories about, well, this is the money that could have been generated, and instead it's this, the more it trends negative. And they got to stay on the positive side of this. So I hope the powers that be put this money in a smart place, make the money make money until they figure out who gets what.
Boy, there's so much you could do with that kind of investment off the interest of that. Just even taking, you know, $5 million and improving this, or taking $3 million and going here, doing something that helps children in the community, whatever. I mean, there's just so much you can do.
Most importantly, making sure that the coffers are refilling.
Exactly.
You know, and that's LA had the Olympics years ago. They took the leftover surplus they had, they invested it, and they're paying out scholarships and creating opportunities for youth sports. And I'm not saying that's what should be done with this money. Everybody's going to have their say. Nobody cares what I think they should do with it. But it's generating all these opportunities and great programs, and it's just refilling and refilling. And that's what this money should leave, a lasting legacy. Don't move quick on how you spend it, but move quick on making sure it's making the most money possible.
No doubt. All right, buddy, the Missouri Tigers are off this weekend, so I'm sure next week we'll talk a little bit about Mizzou. And what do you have coming up this weekend at the Post-Dispatch? You always got something under your cap here that
I'm
like.
I'm catching my breath, man. I did write, you mentioned Mizzou. I have a column up this morning. It's in today's paper about the quarterback situation. It's the opposite of a hot take. I understand the clamor for Eli to start Sam Horn. I think he should play him. But after talking to Eli this week, it sure seems like Brady Cook is still giving them the best chance. I think he's got to be more willing to start playing multiple quarterbacks. So folks can find that at stltoday.com if they want to check that out.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You're the best, man.
You're the best. Thanks for stopping in the world headquarters. We appreciate it.
You bet. Anytime.